Welcome to Hope College Athletics Orange and Blue Podcast. My name is Alan Babbitt, Sports Information Director here at Hope College. Hard to believe, but it's our fourth season of the Orange and Blue Podcast, and it's been my pleasure over the last 4 years to talk with Hope College student athletes, coaches, staff, alums, and share their stories from this incredible place and incredible Hope College athletics. And I have two more examples here with me today of those who represent our pillars of academic success, competitive excellence, and transformational experience. I have Justice Mims, Hope College men's basketball student athlete and junior kinesiology major, and Samantha Smith from the Hope College women's lacrosse team, also a junior and also a kinesiology major. Welcome to the Orange and Blue Podcast, Justice and Samantha.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Well, we'll start a little bit before we get into your story. These two were involved with an amazing seed experience and a mission trip to Central America this summer, and we'll talk about that. We want to get to know them a little bit more. We'll start with you, Justice. Tell us about where you grew up, your background, and how you came to be a student athlete at Hope College.
So I lived in Rochester, like on the east side. It's like 30 minutes away from Detroit. And so I moved there like my fifth grade year. And so I ended up going to Rochester Adams High School, play basketball there. I was able to like meet up with Coach Mitchell through like AAU and all the other coaches and stuff. And then I kind of just got linked in with Hope through there. But although I came here for basketball, I was able to find so much more. I was able to get community here, like find family here and find Jesus, which I feel like is like, didn't know that I would, but it's the best thing that could have happened. So, yeah.
And Samantha, for you, tell us about, where you grew up and, how you came to be here at Hope College.
I am from Westfield, Indiana, which is just the middle of Indiana. I went to Westfield High School. And I started playing lacrosse in second or third grade. I had to play on a boys team because there was no girls team in my area. And so I started playing there. And then there were too many girls on the boys team. So we started a girls team. And I've been playing since. And I just found out about Hope because two of my club teammates were playing here. And so I talked to Coach Keegan, and I just really liked the way she ran the program and the way she communicated. And so I just fell in love, and I wanted to be close enough to home where I could drive home for a weekend, but far enough that I'd be out of my comfort zone. And I've just loved it. It's the perfect school for me. And I've just been able to grow in so many different ways here.
Justice, the sport of basketball, when did it become your game, and what makes it a game that you obviously, pour a big part of your life into?
Honestly, I'd probably say around third grade, I started playing when I was five at like boys and girls club leagues. I think I loved it so much because my brother Jabbar, he used to play for AAU, like my dad's team was like Team X and all this stuff, and Avondale High School. So watching him, I think I really just started to want to become a basketball player and just get better and get better and better. And then like LeBron and all of them, I started watching them and liking them, not because I really liked them too much, but because my brother liked them. So I kind of just started mimicking my brother in a way. So yeah, that's kind of how I came to love basketball.
And for you, Samantha, obviously you mentioned like there wasn't a girls team around, and you had to join a boys team. And lacrosse has become a growing sport, especially, in the Midwest. How did you discover the game, and what do you enjoy about it so much?
So I'm the youngest of three girls, and my two older sisters had some friends that were wanting to play a new sport. And so they're like 5 years older than me. And so they were in middle school and high school, and they were just looking for a new sport to try out because we played every sport growing up, softball, soccer, like every sport you could think of. And so I just wanted to be like my older sisters. And so I joined, and I just ended up just loving how fast paced it is and how just different it is from other sports. Like, it's a lot like soccer, but there's a lot of mental side to it, and like knowing the field and knowing how to play. And what's so fun to me is just that people with different talents can like thrive in this sport. So if there's fast people, they can thrive in the midfield position. Me, like, not being the best runner in the whole world, like, being able to play goalie and really thrive in that position and be the mental person for the team, like being that strong mental person, being able to see the whole field is really cool. But it's just really cool to be part of this growing sport, and I've seen it grow so much in my time playing, and that's the most important part for me.
Both of you are kinesiology majors. Tell us about, is that something you knew that when you came to Hope you wanted to do, or was it something that you've discovered here? Justice, how, for you, for your educational pursuit.
I definitely did not think that I would end up liking kinesiology as much as I did. I don't know. Once I got here, I wanted to decide between, okay, do I want to start pursuing like chiropractic or like being a physical therapist? And then somewhere along the way, I realized that I wanted to start pursuing physical therapy, which is like the more focused portion of the kinesiology, which I studied. And so once I was able to start doing internships, which I'm like doing as of right now, I'm definitely like all in on being a physical therapist, because you get to build relationships with people, help them out if they come in broken, like physically or mentally, spiritually, whatever it is. I just want to like be able to help them out. And, you know, I know that I love people. So I want to definitely try to pour into as many people as I possibly can.
For you, Samantha?
So my sister growing up had a lot of knee problems, and everyone in my family has knee problems. So I was the annoying little sister who always followed along to her physical therapy appointments. And I would ask the therapist a million questions, and my sister would be so annoyed. And I just saw an opportunity to help people and form relationships. Like Justice said, like, I'm a people person. And that's the biggest thing for me, is helping people and forming connections. And one of the things my grandpa taught me is that there's a connection between me and every person I meet. And so physical therapy allows me to have connections through sport and through medical information and stuff, and where I'm at, like where I'm living. And I just think that PT is the best opportunity for me to help people and form so many relationships. And I knew that coming into Hope. I've been working at the same physical therapy clinic for about 3 years, and started that in high school. And I just realized that, and I know that's what I want to do, and that's what I'm meant to do.
I know one of the things about Division III that is a big part is that ability to balance your athletic interest and your academic interest and be able to pursue both, because you're not going, you know, professional afterward. For both of your experiences here in Hope, what have you found that you enjoy the most and has been the most fulfilling about being a student athlete? I mean, take us, you know, how have you been able to accomplish that within striving for, you know, competitive excellence, but also, you know, off the field as well? Justice?
Man. Honestly, the best part about being a student athlete, probably the relationships and connections. I would definitely say relationships and connections, because the sport is fun. It's amazing. Like, the crowds are amazing at the Vols or even at different schools, 100%. But I think, like, when I think about it, like, going to eat food at Phelps or, like, at Cook with, like, your teammates and branching out to different, like, Hope athletes. And then, I don't know, it's just, yeah, I would definitely say the connections is the most fun thing about being a student athlete up here.
For you, Samantha?
Same thing for me, the relationships and the community. Going to a small school, you're kind of like, you know, most of your school and Everybody like makes jokes or like, oh, you know everybody at your school. And I'm like, yeah, kind of. But being an athlete at Hope, like, we're a whole different family. Like, there's a whole different bond that's formed that just makes the campus seem so much like closer. And something about Hope athletes is that we all support each other no matter the sport. Like, we're always going to basketball games. We're going to softball games. We're driving for a JV women's basketball game. Like, my friend and I would go to those, like, football games, everything. All the athletes just support each other. And there's something about maintaining the balance of school and athletics that just people at Hope get. Like, the athletes at Hope just get each other. And I've never had a community like that. Like, at my high school, like, all the athletes knew each other, but we weren't a family. And at Hope, it's truly just one big athletic family.
One of the things, obviously, Hope Athletics offer is the seed trips that you both went on down to, for yours was down to the Dominican Republic. And those that might not know about our seed program who are listening, that our seed program is sports evangelism to equip disciples. And through this program, our student athletes are intentionally challenged to use their experiences to sow the seed and water their harvest so that the good news of Jesus Christ takes root in their own lives and it is as it's shared around the world. For both of you, starting with Justice, what intrigued you about signing up for a seed trip?
Honestly, just getting outside of my comfort zone was probably the most like intriguing thing. And I don't know how to speak like any lick of Spanish. Like, I know very minimal. So I knew that it would be a challenge. But it really didn't matter. I just wanted to, as Cooney was saying during like our little mandatory meetup, just show up. So I just showed up. And yeah, we'll get into all of that even more later. So
for you, Samantha?
So I have never been on a mission trip before. And a lot of my housemates who are also my teammates were talking about the seed trips and talking about going to the meetings. And I never even went to the informational meetings beforehand, just because I had commitments going on. But one of my teammates and one of my best friends, Callie Randall, she pulled me aside at home and she was like, why are you not applying to go on a seed trip? Like, this is totally up your alley. Like, I'm so surprised that you're not applying. And so I applied and got in, and then my roommate and I were on the same trip, and it was just so rewarding, and it was out of my comfort zone. And like Justice said, we'll get into that, but just, it was a random spur of the moment decision and completely changed my life.
Let's talk through kind of what you all were involved down there and what you experienced and what you remember. Justice, if you want to take, I'm trying to remember the different stops along the way, but maybe the first stop in the Dominican Republic that you were at. Tell us kind of what you guys did and what you experienced and saw.
Okay, so first stop was Santiago. Like, this is where we stayed for a majority of the time. And we were kind of like at this, it was like a dorm, like a little dormitory. It doesn't look like a college dorm or anything, but in their terms, it was a dorm. And I think it used to be a hospital of some sort that got turned into a dorm. And I would say, like, the first thing that I noticed is just completely different. It's, like, mopeds everywhere, like, uneven pavement. It's definitely more underprivileged, but, like, that's not a fault or to, like, anything in terms of being down there. That is just a different scenery for sure. And I can just say that once we got there, we couldn't, like, wash our hands in the water or, like, brush our teeth with the water because we could possibly get sick, or even like shower with like our mouths open, like, or something like that, or like don't let it get in your mouth, like that's what they would tell us. So like we would use two bowls of like soap and water, and then the second bowl was like bleach to like be able to like even eat things. But yeah, the first stop was very cool. We got to do a whole bunch of things. We went to the church out there. I forgot what it was. I think it was like Central, like Iglesia, some of that sort. And although I didn't really understand anything, it was basically all Spanish, I still could understand that, you know, it was a movement of God in there regardless. So it was just amazing being around the people. They had so much hospitality. They loved on us like we were there all the time, interacting with the kids, seeing like goats and dogs and whatever little animal would walk around. You see dogs on top of rooftops. It was just a whole spiel of things. But yeah, that's basically like what the first stop was for the DR.
For you, Samantha, and then the next stop, where did you guys, what were you involved when after a few days of being there?
So after a couple days of like staying in Santiago and working at the sports camps for the little kids, we went to Bate Nueve, which is a village. And this was like even more underprivileged, and they didn't have hardly any running water. We couldn't really shower there. There was a lot of bugs and power went out and all that stuff. But while we were there, we went to Bate Nueve, and then we went to other bates, Bate Cinco, and then Bate Cuchillo. And while we were there, we installed water filters into like 5-gallon jugs. And we would install those and give them to the people and help them build the filters. And just seeing the joy on people's faces when they have clean water for the first time in their life was crazy. And just thinking about how they've lived for however many years, 40, 50 years, and they haven't had a sip of clean water, and all they know is being sick. And just the fact that these filters would be good for 20 years, like 15, 20 years, like we've changed that person's life and we've changed their children's lives. And it was some long bus rides those days, some bus difficulties, a 14-hour travel day. We were supposed to be 5 hours, but we were all happy and we were all just knowing that we were serving the Lord and we offered it up for the Lord. And just, it was very different. And after that, we went back to our dorm and it felt like paradise because we had air conditioning. And but the second part of the trip was installing the water filters and just giving people the opportunity to have clean water and just hanging out with the people in Bate Nueve a lot.
If I'm able to piggyback off of that, like just a little
yes,
more.
Yes, please.
So I was going to say, like, on top of that, given the water filters, it was also supposed to like symbolize the way Jesus purified the dirt within us too. And so it was so amazing. Like seeing these, man, it was like, these mothers, fathers, whatever they are, like they didn't even have, like some of them didn't even have doors to close, you know, like they didn't have any of that. So like things could just walk up in their house and they'll use the bathroom in their house and they can't really do anything about it. And you see like the children like looking up in the sky, they'll see an airplane, they'll like chase after it. And it was just, it just showed me so much that like, although, yes, they're underprivileged, like, they're not poor. Like, they're rich in spirit, 100%. And I always say this to people whenever I talk about the seed trip. Like, I really believe the biggest difference is that they have God in everything. Like, they welcome us in, even though we don't even speak the same language as them. Like, we're just strangers, foreigners, and they're still inviting us in. And, like I said, having the hospitality to give us, like, give us their grace. Like, you know, and it was just awesome. So I really do think that because they had God and everything, it didn't matter what the situation was. Like, they are much happier than, like, what is perceived. So, yeah, it was awesome, man.
That, Samantha, that connection between with people, and again, with if there's a language barrier, but feeling that spirit through them, how did that, as you reflect on that, what does that kind of, what did that teach you or mean to you to experience that as Justice has been talking about?
The same thing, like they see God in everything. And whenever you would ask someone, hey, how are you doing? They would say, I'm great, thanks to God. Like, I have a wonderful family and it's all because of God. Like, I thank God every day. Like, and they would ask us how we are and we're like, oh, we're tired. Like, we're doing fine, but we're tired. But they would always say, I'm great, thanks be to God. And that, just seeing God so trip and seeing God and how little these people have, like they have so little like material possessions, and they're so much more thankful for them than we are for our millions of material items that we have that we don't thank God for. And the biggest thing from the trip that I took away was that there's always something to thank God for. Like, there's a million things a day. And when somebody asks you how you are, you can say, I'm fantastic because I have God in my life. Or I'm so happy with my family right now, and God has blessed me that way. And they just see God in every single thing when we don't. And that was the biggest thing for me to take away. But it was just really cool for just the fact that we were the ones bringing like the mission work, and God was definitely working more in them for us than we were for them.
Mm-hmm. Is there something probably similar along that lines that you've brought back and tried to incorporate into your daily life as that reminder to keep that from, you come back here to the world of obviously a lot of material possessions and temptations and you know, hard things. What is something that you've taken back with you that's changed your life for the better because of what you experienced through God on this mission trip? Justice.
I would say gratitude. Like, if I catch myself complaining about something, I would just say, okay, like, look at what you already have. You have a car to drive in, you have clean water to brush your teeth, you're able to shower, you have a bed to sleep in, you have a door to close. Like, there's so much more to be grateful for instead of, like, complaining about the little things. Like, I will complain about, oh, I got to, like, drive out here, like, 30 minutes or so. But I have the ability to drive. I have a car. Like, I am blessed with so much stuff at such a young age. I mean, yeah, like, I really do feel that everything is not everything, but God is everything. And when you put God in everything, everything else seems so much better. And it's just so much clearer. So, yeah, having gratitude was definitely the biggest takeaway from this trip.
For you, Samantha?
Like I said, just bringing God into every conversation. And when somebody asks how you're doing, you can say, I'm great, thanks be to God. Or I'm having a hard day, but God's going to get me through it. There's always a way to bring up God in a conversation. And we were always talking about God when we were there. And yeah, we were on a mission trip, but a lot of the time the people there would start the conversations. And one of the biggest things that I noticed was our leader, John, told us that when we were done like having a conversation with someone, we'd say, Dios te bendiga, which means God bless you. And everybody on the trip picked it up immediately. We would say it every 2 seconds after every conversation. Even if we didn't say hi to someone, we'd say that. And I just realized that in our community here, if we told a group of 20-year-olds, hey, after every conversation, say, God bless you, we'd all be like, no, that's kind of random, yeah, kind of weird. But just because of the community they have created, that's completely normal. And it's encouraged. And that's something that I've been trying to incorporate here in my life, and I'll definitely try to incorporate at Hope. But that was the biggest thing for me to bring back, is that there's always room for God in a conversation.
I would say too, one of the things about this trip that's a byproduct, it's certainly not a focus, but that I've experienced listening to people talk about this, is another thing that's intentionally done is that it brings together this athletes from different sports, and you're going as a new group to a new place and having to figure a variety of things out. What did you learn about that? Because I've found, and it seems through the conversations with you, is that there's just a bonding that happens, and a community is built, and then you built this community with who you visited in the Dominican Republic. What did you learn from that part of the trip of meeting new people and going on an experience together?
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing. It was the conversation that you would have with these people, like they've all become like my friends, like genuinely have become my friends outside of just a sea trip. And I remember one, like, what I was kind of thinking was, like, man, like, I kind of almost wasted 2 years not really, like, reaching out to this specific side of, like, Hope Athletics. Like, Sam and Ruby or Yogi, Cole, Clay, et cetera, et cetera. It was just, I mean, we have, like, group chats that we made to go and play, like, pickleball or something. Or, like, we'll be like, yo, like, we got to get together, like, again throughout the summer just on our own time, you know. So, I mean, the connection that we built was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
For you, Samantha?
It was definitely interesting to be with people from different sports just because these were all people that maybe I had a class with or maybe I knew their name and I knew about their athletic performance, like maybe they're the best on a team or whatever. And I've made prior judgments about these people and had my own kind of perspective on them. But being in such an uncomfortable situation with these people that you have made prior judgments on or perspectives on, and learning who they really are and what they're living their life for. And it was just really cool to see these people on a different level who I didn't know at all. And seeing what each person brought from their own team and their own coaches was cool because we were talking about how our practices are run and how our team functions. And we each brought those things in to make the week go smoother because we couldn't do it alone. And I just thought it was really cool to meet people from other teams who I didn't know. And now when I'm so eager to get back to school just so I can finally be with these people again and finally keep these relationships going and growing, and having that bonding experience was like nothing else you can get in life.
And lastly, I'll wrap up with, I can already have, Samantha, you kind of answered this earlier, but we'll still wrap it up with, there may be someone listening who's never thought about a sea trip or considering a sea trip and applying. What would be your message to them, having been one that was in their shoes, you know, having not experienced a trip? Justice, what would you say to someone that they should think about applying for next year's sea trip?
Go. Y'all, like, y'all better go, bro. Dude, you only had to put in $300 for an experience that has no price on it. Like, it's priceless. Like, y'all gotta go. It's actually insane that it's such a cheap expense for all the things that we get. We get food every single day, around the clock. You get to hang out with a bunch of different athletes. You get a trip outside of a country. And then the experience that you have with the people down there, I mean, and if you do go down there, do not just, like, be with your group. Like, try to branch out and really talk to these folks out here from their country. Like, you will learn so much stuff, and you will not regret it at all. Go.
Samantha?
There's no considering it. You have to do it. Like, if it's even a thought in your mind, you have to do it. I fully believe that a sea trip can change anyone's life, no matter how shy or outgoing you are or how uncomfortable you are with the idea. There's a role for everyone to fill on the sea trips. Like, there's a role for the outgoing people to play. There's a role for the more shy people. The relationships you form and the lessons you learn are worth being out of your comfort zone for a week. And I wish I could go back a million more times and experience that week. Like Justice said, there's no price. There's no price for this trip. There's nothing that could explain it. And I remember hearing about past athletes who have gone on sea trips, and they're like, you don't understand the bond until you've been there. Like, it's crazy. And I was like, yeah. Like, it's another cool thing to do. You'll build relationships. But this is a whole new family for me. And that's something that I knew I wouldn't have gotten if I wouldn't have gone.
Awesome. Well, thank you for both of you spending some time with me on another episode here on the Orange and Blue podcast. We look forward to, days are counting down. It's the excitement building. I always say July, 4th of July, and you start to feel it. It starts to build up, and we're looking forward to a great 24-25 school year. And thanks for listening. Orange and Blue podcast will be back here in a couple weeks with another episode. Thanks, everyone.
Can I say one more thing before you end?
Oh, absolutely.
Can I just do a little prayer? I don't know. It just slipped across my mind. Can I do a little prayer?
100%. Let's go.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for just another amazing day in which you have given us a time in which your presence was with us as we were able to have these conversations. I pray that you just able to reach out to somebody, Lord, and help us to see things through your eyes. Help us to have gratitude for every little thing that we have in this life. And I pray that you always go before us in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Oh, Reverend, we got to end it right. How do we end the conversation?
Dios te bendiga.
Dios te bendiga.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone.